भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 12th chapter, text 31, chapter entitled, The Killing of the Demon Agasur.
Tato atikayasya niruddha margino Hi udgirna drishte brahmatastva itastatha पुराणो अंतरंगे पवनो निरुद्धो मूर्धन विनिभृत्य विनिग्रतो बही ततो अतिकायस्य निरुद्ध मार्गिनो हि उद्गीर्ण दृष्टे ब्रह्मतस्त्व इतस्तथा अंतरंगे पवनो निरुद्धो मूर्धन विनिर्भित्या विनिर्गतो बहिः ततो अतिकायस्य निरुद्ध मार्गिनो हि उद्गीर्ण दृष्टेर् ब्रह्मतस्त्व इतस्तथा अंतरंगे पवनो निरुद्धो मूर्धन विनिर्विद्या विनिर्गतो बहिः
पूर्णोऽन्तरङ्गे पवनो निरुद्धो निर्गतो
मातुजी Translation and translation by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Tatha, after Krishna took action to kill the demon's body from within the mouth, Atikayasya, of that great demon who had expanded his body to a very large size. Niruddha margina. Niruddha margina. Because of suffocating. All outlets being stopped up. He udgirana drishtihe. Whose eyes had popped out. Brahmataha. To itihi tatha, the eyeballs or the life airs moving here and there. पूर्णः कंप्लीटली फिल्ड अंतः अंगे विद इन द बॉडी पवनः द लाइफ है निरुद्धः बीइंग स्टॉप्ड मूर्धन द होल इन द टॉप ऑफ द हेड विनिर्विद्या ब्रेकिंग विनिर्गतः वेंट आउट बही एक्सटर्नली ट्रांसलेशन देन बिकॉज कृष्णा हैड इंक्रीज द साइज ऑफ हिज बॉडी द डीमन एक्सटेंडेड हिज ओन बॉडी टू अ वेरी लार्ज साइज नॉनदलेस हिज ब्रीदिंग स्टॉप्ड ही सफोकेटेड एंड हिज आईज रोल्ड हियर एंड देयर एंड पॉप्ड आउट द डीमन्स लाइफ एयर हाउएवर कुड नॉट पास थ्रू एनी आउटलेट एंड देयरफॉर इट फाइनली बर्स्ट आउट through a hole in the top of the demon's head. This shloka has no purport, so we'll read the next few shlokas. Tenaiva sarveshu bahirgateshu praneshu vatsam suradha paretam drishtya svayotthapaya tad anvittapunam vakritam mukundo bhagavan vinirayayo. When all the demon's life air had passed away through that hole in the top of his head, Krishna glanced over the dead calves and cowherd boys and brought them back to life. Then Mukunda, who can give one liberation, came out from the demon's mouth with his friends and calves. Pinahi bhogittham adbhutam mahaj jyotihi svah dhamna ज्वलादि दिशो दशा प्रतिकश्य कहे अवस्थितम इशि निर्गमन विवेश तस्मिन मिशताम दिवो कसाम. From the body of the gigantic python, a glaring effulgence came out, illuminating all directions, and stayed individually in the sky until Krishna came out from the corpse's mouth. Then, as all the demigods looked on, this effulgence entered into Krishna's body. Apparently, the serpent named Agasur, because of having received association with Krishna, attained mukti by entering Krishna's body. Entering the body of Krishna is called Sayujya Mukti. But later verses prove that Agasur, like Dantavakra and others, received Sarupya Mukti. This has been broadly described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur with references from the Vaishnava Toshini of Srila Jiva Goswami. Agasur attained Sarupya Mukti, being promoted to the Vaikuntha planets to live with the same four-armed bodily features as Vishnu. The explanation of how this is so may be summarized as follows. The effulgence came out from the python's body and became purified, attaining spiritual Shuddha Sattva, freed from material contamination. Because Krishna had stayed within the serpent's body, even after the serpent's death, one may doubt that such a demon, full of mischievous activities, could attain the liberation of Sarupya or Sayujya, and one may be astonished about this. But Krishna is so kind that in order to drive away such doubts, he had the effulgence, the individual life of the python, wait for some time in its individuality in the presence of all the demigods. Krishna is the full effulgence, and every living being is part and parcel of that effulgence. As proved here, the effulgence in every living being is individual. For some time the effulgence remained outside the demon's body individually and did not mix with the whole effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahma effulgence is not visible to materialize, But to prove that every living being is individual, Krishna had this individual effulgence, stay outside the demon's body for some time, for everyone to see. Then Krishna proved that anyone killed by him attains liberation, whether Sayujya, Sarupya, Samipya or whatever. But the liberation of those who are on the transcendental platform of love and affection is Vimukti, special liberation. Thus the serpent first entered the body of Krishna personally and mixed with the Brahman effulgence. This merging is called Sayujya Mukti. But from later verses we find that Agasur attained Sarupya Mukti. Text 38 explains that Agasur attained a body exactly like that of Vishnu. And the verse after that also clearly states that he attained a completely spiritual body like that of Narayan. Therefore, in two or three places the Bhagavatam has confirmed that Agasur attained Sarupya Mukti. One may then argue, how is it that he mixed with the Brahman effulgence? The answer is that as Jay and Vijay, after three births, again attained Sarupya Mukti and association with the Lord, Agasur received a similar liberation. Om Ajnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwadhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shubhasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, seek the blessing of all the devotees to do this service of speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. And while I was coming here, Radha Gopinath Prabhu ordered me to first make an announcement about a very wonderful devotee who's from Kolhapur, and he's a young boy. I think he's pursuing his CA. But then all of a sudden, maybe a year back or so, was detected with brain tumor. And right now, he is in Vrindavan, admitted in the hospice, and he is about to give up his body. So we kindly request all the devotees to please pray for him. It is surely not a coincidence that during Purushottam Mass, on a very auspicious day, right now devotees are chanting around him loudly. He is almost at this last moments, and he was living in one of our bases in Bandirvan earlier. It was a nice, very nice devotee, and all of a sudden this was detected. He was a very healthy devotee. He was a very healthy devotee. So life is very uncertain. We don't know what is waiting for us. But just like some uncertainty in the lives of the gopas, they're just playing around, walking in Vrindavan, and all of a sudden Agasura is right in front of them. Death, which is very painful in the material world, seems like fun in the spiritual world. For those who take shelter of Krishna, who are connected to Krishna in the right way, I was hearing a lecture of Raghunath Swami Maharaj. He was mentioning the great acharyas are not worried of what is our caliber and what we are doing, what are the great achievements that we are getting. Their worry is, how are we situated? And it just hit me that, because I am always worried in how do I perform in so many different ways, what do I achieve? But the great souls, the acharyas, they are worried about their dependence as to how are they situated. Because they are detached, they don't want anything from them. We may think that we are offering so many things. What it basically means that if we send somebody to catch a train at the VT station to go to Delhi, and if this person is not very intelligent, very rich, but he does not know which train to catch, and he goes and sits in the wrong train, which is going to Calcutta. So the person who has sent him is always worried whether he is sitting in the right train. The fellow is very happy sitting in a Calcutta train. He's got an AC ticket, he's very happy, he's got all the food that is needed for travel, but he's sitting in the wrong train. So the acharya is thinking, whatever you have, that's good, but sit in the right train. But sometimes sitting in the right train may be a general compartment, it may not be an AC ticket. It will be troublesome. Still the great soul says, no problem. You still sit there. And we say, no, it's a big tapasya. It's so much of trouble, people are shouting, howling, stinky. Say, no, still you sit in that train, because that train will take you in the right destination. Then the point I want to touch on is trying to serve, and I don't have anything to give as such, but I can share my struggle in trying to progress in Krishna consciousness. So the struggle is that if there is always a struggle to give up service. You see, the gopas, they are always very enthusiastic to serve Krishna. Although seemingly they are entering the mouth of Agasura, it's actually a service to Krishna, because there is a pastime where they want to be saved by Krishna. That's what they want to do. And Lord Krishna is also surprised. How is this happening? So it's easier to give up action or become inactive and think that, oh, I am not doing any harm to anybody. I am absolutely harmless. As a matter of fact, by my inaction, I am doing benefit to others. But Srila Prabhupada defines bhakti as devotional service. And he says, activity. It is not simply mental, ecstasy. But it is action. Karmani hi akarmana paschet. Akarmana cha karmaya. Sabuddhiman manusheshu Sayukta Krishna Karmakrit. Who is intelligent? That person who sees inaction in action, action in inaction. Such a person is intelligent among human beings, and although he is engaged in all sorts of action, it is not that he is inactive. At times I thought, if I don't give a class, I am doing such an amazing thing by not giving a class. But then giving class or doing any other service is action, and that has to be done in service of Krishna, because that is intelligence. Serving Krishna is intelligence. There was a sannyasi by the name Suridhi Swami, and he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada was having the whole project of Vrindavan. So Prabhupada said, come and serve. So he thought that I'll go there, chant 64 rounds, read the Bhagavatam, you know, take full advantage of the Dham. And after he went over there, he was engaged in heavy duty service. And then he went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, what am I doing? I am simply counting cement bags. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is Bhagavad Seva for you. Because you sacrificed so much, we have now the darshan of Shri Radha, Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was running a Damodar bus party along with Vishnujan Swami Maharaj. And he would go to a temple, and all brahmacharis would become inspired, the temple would be empty. Everyone joins the bus party and the bus party is gone. So the grihasthas complain to Srila Prabhupada, this is what is happening, we don't have devotees in temple. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said that he went to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you have to stop this bus party. He said that then I better go to China. That means, you know, inaction. Because nobody goes to China. It's a communist country. Nobody goes. What to do over there? You cannot do anything. So I don't want to do any action. Let me go to China if I have to stop this party. And Prabhupada said, that's a good idea. You better go to China. He said, Prabhupada, I was just joking. He said, nobody jokes with a spiritual master. So, one may try to be inactive, but then the spiritual master engages you. Things what you don't like to do. But then life is so short. If you want to surrender to Krishna, when are we going to do it? There is a little time. We are just thinking, maybe tomorrow I will surrender. Let me enjoy a little more. You know, it usually happens with all of us, of course. Ultimately, time is passing by. Actually, I was thinking like this, that comparing it to prasad. See, if we want to give up action, not do anything, it's easy. And if we want to get super passionate, that is also easy. But to do what we are told to do is very difficult. Just like if we want to give up, like today, Ekadashi, I don't have to eat anything, I don't have to think. It's easy. And if I have to eat everything, that's also very easy. But if I have to eat the right amount, when imarti, gulab jamun, everything is right in front of me, and not overeat, just eat the right amount. That is very difficult. So to do what we are told to do is very difficult, because it goes against our false ego. And immediately when somebody tells us to do something, it's like, shh, why? And then the intelligence has to overtake. No, time is less, you have to surrender to Krishna. Just in the life of Bharat Maharaj, he was a very advanced soul. How advanced was Bharat Maharaj? He was so advanced that he had achieved the platform of Bhava. And maybe some of us over here, maybe on Bhava, I don't know. He was on the platform of Bhava, and he had renounced the whole, he was the king of the whole planet, he had renounced, he really renounced. And he came, and he was doing his sadhana, But then he fell, you know, became attracted to a small deer, and then he became a deer. He couldn't achieve perfection. And then after giving up the deer's body, he became Jad Bharat. And then he got liberated. So if somebody is on the Bhav platform, it will take at least 3 births to go back to Godhead. I'm just analyzing from Bharat Maharaj incident. So we need to analyze. If we are not on that platform, it is, and we want to really go back to Godhead in this life, how difficult it is. It is very difficult. But the hope is, one who takes shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most difficult thing becomes easy, and the most easy thing becomes difficult for those who don't take his shelter. Taking shelter of Krishna means taking shelter of his devotee. And then everything is blissful because we don't have to think. Please allow Krishna to take control of our lives. Please leave some decisions in his hands. So many times we try to make so many decisions and we think we can control, but crash. Every time crash. So if we are surrendered to an advanced devotee of Krishna, then that is like sitting in the right train. But the fear is, if I try to surrender, I will be exposed. And I will be rejected. But advanced devotees don't reject anybody. They are representatives of Krishna. Another fear could be that I will be used. But anyways, if you go outside in this world, everyone is using everyone. Even if you were working outside, everyone is using everyone like anything. From an individual basis to the community basis to a, whatever you say, national basis. So if somebody uses us in service of Krishna, what's wrong? As Srila Prabhupada said, once the vegetable becomes old and stale, anyway it has to be thrown. And if the body becomes old, anyway there is nobody going to use it. So when it has something, let it be used. What is the problem? My ego is the problem. Doesn't allow me to be used in Krishna's service. It's only stopping me to be used in Krishna's service. So, to walk in the right direction with knowledge. Yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjita jnanagni dagda karmanam tam ahu panditam buddha. An intelligent man is that who has given up all desire for sense gratification and works in knowledge. The opposite of giving up action is to work but without knowledge. I'm doing a lot of action but I feel I am the doer. That's karta hum iti manyate. I'm doing so much of karma for us also. So, yasya sarve samarambham kama sankalpa varjita. One who gives up desire for self-gratification, whether post, position, anything, absolutely surrender to Krishna, not wanting to enjoy tyaktva karma phala sangam nirashaya nitya nirashaya. One who is actually ever satisfied by the dutiful service that is given to him. Performing our service as a duty and being satisfied with that duty. What is the symptom of somebody who is performing such action? Or akarma, should to say in the right words. First, that person is performing his action simply for the pleasure of Krishna. So one may say, but my authority is not pure.
should understand. If we start searching for the most purest person in this world and then find him and then start serving, it is not going to be possible. Everyone will have some shortcomings, and even if they don't have, because we have a spectacle of shortcomings, we will see shortcomings everywhere. One lecture Raghav Maharaj was giving him right here, one devotee asked a question. Maharaj, I am trying to tell people, explain to them to do their services properly, but they are not doing. What do I do? Maharaj said, you keep on doing your duty properly. If your subordinate is not following, whatever happens to him, you will go back to Godhead. And then Maharaj said the reverse. He said, if you are not rightly situated, but your subordinate is following you properly, whatever happens to you, he will go back to Godhead. That's a great hope. Because anyone who has taken the position of maintaining a senior or leading people, he is representing Vishnu. He is representing Krishna, Krishna Shakti. So we take his shelter. We surrender to him. That means we are surrendered to Krishna. We keep doing our service and be satisfied by the dutiful service. Whatever is being told to us, if we are not satisfied, then we are going to be frustrated. We may achieve, it is so easy to go out and do so many things and put a label that I am doing it for Krishna. But at one point of time, there is guaranteed frustration. All of a sudden, an emptiness in the heart will come. For why am I doing this? And then, give up everything. If everything is done for Krishna, then it is okay to become the king of the planet. And if it is not done for Krishna, then even if you are the king, what is the use? Such a person performs all actions for Krishna, and therefore he is not attracted to the fruits of that action. I can think of a beautiful example of Kardama Muni. Very graphic and very interesting. Kardama Muni, he is the son of Brahma, and his father ordered him get married, because Narada Muni did not get married, four Kumaras did not get married. He said, get married and produce many children. So Kardama Muni went to the jungle, he performed tapasya, and Lord Vishnu personally came and gave darshan. Can you imagine the fruit of tapasya, Lord Vishnu appearing in his forearm form and saying, my dear Kardama, what do you want? And he said, please give me a good wife. First he said, actually people, once they get your darshan, all material desires are gone. But I have one desire, give me a good wife. And Lord Krishna said, I already know what you want. So I'll give you. If Krishna searches for a good girl, for somebody, he searches for the best girl. So he says, he told him that Swayam Bhuva Manu's daughter will come and get married to you. And he was the king of the whole Manava Jati. And Swayambhu Manu comes to this jungle where a hermitage, Kardama Muni is staying in a hermit made of grass. And his daughter is very beautiful. Now, compared to where Kardama Muni is staying, the beauty of the daughter is explained that she was once playing with ball on a terrace, and Srila Prabhupada says, mind you, if you think that there are skyscrapers today, there were skyscrapers in those times, because a Gandharva was flying in his plane from the heavenly planets. He came and was flying from his plane, and from his plane he could see Devahuti. And you can imagine how tall was the palace in which Devahuti was staying. That's the understanding Srila Prabhupada gives. And he saw this beautiful girl, he became so attracted to her that he fell down from his plane just by seeing her beauty. So she was so beautiful, and her father has brought her. Prabhupada says that cultured family means father will search for the husband. And he brought, and he personally came. He was a big king, but he was personally came and offered his daughter's hand to Kardam Muni. And Kardam Muni very graciously accepted. And then he just, now somebody who is doing everything for Krishna does not become attracted to the fruits of his action. Now his tapasya has grown fruits. He's got the most beautiful, chaste, loving wife. Very qualified. Even demigods want her. And he's living in a jungle. And she's come personally. And she said she wanted to marry him. That's another thing. Because she heard from Narad Muni, as a very qualified Brahmin like that. So, after getting married to her, he just forgets about her and goes back into his tapasya, which seems to be very impractical in one sense, is not, but from the other sense, it shows that he was doing his tapasya, the fruit was, which he was not attracted to, because he was doing it for Krishna. And after many years, his wife becomes, all her beauty is gone. Her long hair, because she has not braided it, they become thick, jata. And her clothes have become tattered, her skin has become all rough. And all she is doing is simply serving Kardam Muni, like a chaste wife. And after many years, Kardam Muni looks at his wife, and he says, oh, the princess, she's such a royal princess, what's happened to her? And then Kardam Muni makes a very wonderful statement. He says, my dear wife, I'm so happy with you, that today I give you a gift. What is my gift? I give you pure devotional service. Without you trying to do any tapasya like what I have done. So Srila Prabhupada says, this is a point I want to again repeat. It's very difficult for us to achieve Krishna in one life. But if we surrender to an advanced devotee of Krishna and serve him sincerely, then the gift is free gift. You get the most valuable Krishna consciousness right by him. If you want, you can just give it. And actually, Srila Prabhupada says, Devati did not do that type of tapasya to get Krishna, but Kardam Muni just gave it to her. Take care. Get pure devotional service. And she got it. And then she said that, you promised my father that I will have children. So he said, okay, and he created a mansion. It was a flying mansion. And the mansion's floor was made of jewels, diamonds, rubies. It was gold, there was linen. There were ponds, there were gardens inside the palace, outside the palace. There were birds of different varieties. There were duplicate birds also. Artificial, but they looked so real that the real birds would go and associate with them. So beautiful. And this mansion could fly by one's own desire, just by willing. And Devati said that, I'm so rugged, how can I ever enter this mansion? He said, no, just enter this sarovar. There was the Saraswati River. And inside the river, he had made a beautiful room. And there were 1,000 maid servants, Gandharva ladies, very young and beautiful, who were waiting to receive Devati. And they welcomed her. They massaged her with scented oils. They gave her elixirs to drink, because of which she became very beautiful. And they put all sorts of jewelry, and when she came out, she was much, it is said her nails, toenails, look like pearls. And then Kardam Muni traveled with her and then explain how he enjoyed in places. The whole universe is divided into different lokas, and one cannot go from one loka to the other loka. It's not possible. Even devatas are restricted. But Kardam Muni, being a devotee of Krishna, had full access. And he showed his wife all the different places in the universe. He traveled with her for hundreds of years. And then he gave her 9 children, 9 daughters, and 1 very beautiful son, Kapila Dev. And after doing all this, he said, I'm leaving. So one, the person who does everything in service of Krishna is not attached to the fruits. I mean, anyone would be attached. Everybody wants a big palace. He had that beyond those homes. Everybody wants cars, beautiful cars. His palace itself was a car. He could travel anywhere. He had children, he had beautiful wife, he had 1,000 maidservants, and then he just gave it up and went to serve Krishna. So these are some points which I was thinking. We have 5 minutes left. I have one more point, but I think I will end over here, because Nada Gopinath Prabhu was mentioning a good class is that class which ends on time. So thank you all. Is there any comment or any questions?